I'm here with Rick Phelps, who's director of the Kalamazoo Singers, and we're going to be talking about their holiday offering called Candlelight Reflections. Thanks for joining me, Rick.
It's great to be here, Kara, as always.
The Kalamazoo Singers is celebrating a really significant anniversary this year.
Yes, this is our 40th anniversary season. And if you think about that in the, you know, the grand scheme of things, any organization that lasts 40 years, that is a significant milestone and achievement. And so we're very proud of that. And we've dedicated this entire year to celebrating just that, that this is our 40th year. And it's all a celebration.
Any organization that lasts 40 years, you could also say, is doing something right. What are some of the things that you think the Kalamazoo Singers have done right over the years?
I love the way you say that. And it's so true. Things last because they have value to people. And the K-Singers last because it has lasted because it has lasting value to this community. We have been, for all these years, you know, the opera chorus of choice very often for the Kalamazoo Symphony. We have collaborated with numerous other organizations like the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus. We don't just sing for ourselves. Our mission is to bring this music to the wider community. And I think we've done that in the past, and we continue to look forward to ways to do that in the future. And so I think as we continue to make ourselves as excellent as we can be and offer that to the community, we will remain a valuable arts organization to the greater Kalamazoo area.
A lot of the time when we talk about being in choir, joining a choir, there's the idea of being part of something bigger than oneself. But I also think that you can get a lot of individual benefits, even individual attention by joining a bigger group. How do you shepherd that?
That is another great observation. One of my members came up to me privately and said a week or two ago that as a singer, this person has received more quality voice training and more understanding of the voice as an individual than in any of his other experiences. And not to take credit for that, but that's the kind of thing that an individual singer can do in a large ensemble. You can really learn a tremendous amount about singing just from a technical standpoint. But it can't be replaced with the idea that you can't then enjoy singing in a large group, right? I mean, the magic, I guess I can say, I will say, the magic of singing in a choral ensemble, an excellent choral ensemble, and to some degree a larger choral ensemble than maybe your average church choir or whatever, it is hard to define what that magic is, but it is there. It is palpable. You feel it in the room, and perhaps more than that, you see it on the singers' faces. When we sing something really exquisitely beautiful in a rehearsal or performance, it's transformative.
That brings us to this concert, Candlelight Reflections. I can picture First Presbyterian Church down in the middle of Kalamazoo on Bronson Park, beautifully decorated, as always, at the holidays. And candlelight is also evocative. Are we looking at a more reflective program from the Kalamazoo Singers here?
It's reflective not in the sense that the music is all, let's say, somber and subdued. It's reflective in that these are selections of music from our past. And Candlelight, of course, pays homage to the holiday itself. So you have the idea of Candlelight Reflections. It's music appropriate to the holiday season, but which reflects our 40-year history. So preparing this entire season, actually, I went and looked back at every program I could get my hand on, and I selected purposefully pieces from each decade, let's say, of our past to make sure that we were always representing one style, one genre, one time frame. So we're singing old music, we're singing new music, we're singing big hits, you know, like the Carol of the Bells. Everybody loves that. We're singing that. Another great great hit that we're singing is the Victoria Omanium Mysterium. So those are a couple very contrasty, but very classic pieces. You know, you think of the holiday season, and you can't watch a TV commercial without hearing Carol of the Bells, right? So the idea of candlelight reflections is music appropriate for the season, but which sheds a light on our past, because all of the selections that we're singing are from our past. For the people who love a little choral comedy, we're singing three selections of P.D.Q. Bach. They are styled as Christmas carols, but they all have a twist, right? So it's humorous. And then in that vein, we sing another one that we sang about 4 years ago called The 12 Days After Christmas, which describes, instead of the joy of all the gifts you are receiving at Christmas, it's the annoyance of the gifts that you would just as soon return, and not wanting to have anything to do with them anymore. So it's a very tongue-in-cheek version of the 12 days called 12 Days After Christmas. Then we have both contemporary and old classics, like we're singing the French carol He Is Born in a beautiful English arrangement. That's the Now Is Born, da-da-dum-bum-bum,
ya-da-da-da.
Yeah, Elena, exactly. Yeah. So we're singing a beautiful English arrangement of that. We're singing I Saw Three Ships, but in a very, very clever setting and a contrasting tune. It's not the tune that everybody associates with I Saw Three Ships. It's a different but wonderful tune. Still an old traditional carol, but not many people know it. And then it's almost impossible to sing a Christmas concert anywhere without a song by Rutter. So we'll be singing John Rutter's Candlelight Carol, which is one of our favorites. I mean, it's a beautiful piece. And we don't just do it because, oh, well, we have to go sing Rutter again. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful song. And the fact that it happens to be by John Rutter is just a little bit of a feather in the cap, shall we say. Then we have this exquisite piece called There Is No Rose of Such Virtue. People may know it, or the text anyway, from the Benjamin Britten Ceremony of Carols, which has probably the most famous setting of that text. But this is a setting by Robert Young, which is probably my personal favorite of the three that I know well of this text. And I mentioned before how the choral, singing in a choral ensemble is often transformative, or I use the word magic. And it's songs like that. It's usually not the loud songs, not the splashy songs that really touch the singers and the audience's heart. It's the slow, reflective ones that really dig deep into the emotional side of us. And when it's combined with exquisitely shaped phrases and beautiful melodies and stunning harmonies, those things just really touch us deep to the core of our humanity.
Well, thanks to you, Rick. You've brought along a recording of the Kalamazoo Singers performing There Is No Rose of Such Virtue. Let's take a break and hear this. That's conducted by you?
Yes.
Okay.
This is at St. Luke's in Kalamazoo about four seasons ago.
That is a setting of an ancient carol called There Is No Rose of Such Virtue by Robert Young. And we heard the Kalamazoo Singers in that archive recording. Rick Phelps is my guest today, and we're talking about the December 10th concert by the Kalamazoo Singers coming up at First Presbyterian Church, 7 p.m. on Saturday. I'm going to take us on a really strange road for a little bit, but you'll understand why. I've been listening to the Hamilton soundtrack nonstop for, quote, nonstop, for a few months. And it just dawned on me the other day how very carefully, even though they're rapping and using patois and using different ways of verbalizing, they are so carefully enunciating as a group, as soloists. It's incredible. They're still theater artists, you know. That's one of those magical things that most of us don't realize is happening, that work is being done prior to performances.
It comes out to the audience with great ease. You know that you're performing well if your audience perceives that you are enjoying yourself as a performer, but also making it look easy. And I think that's true in any discipline, you know. The golfer who has a struggling swing doesn't look comfortable and doesn't make the audience, the gallery, look like they can have confidence in him. And a choir that sings with ease creates a sense of confidence in the audience, and that allows the audience to relax and enjoy. And not that we're planning on, you know, making too many mistakes, but when that odd mistake comes, it's easily brushed aside because you recognize that everything before and after is built to create that sense of ease and comfort in the audience and the singers. And for, you know, we want to be comfortable and we want to share. I talk a lot about communicating with our audience, making sure that our faces are reflective of what we're singing. And, you know, the fact that you brought up Hamilton, I really wasn't aware of that until this summer when my Interlaken students introduced me to Hamilton. And I have, you know, completely jumped on the Hamilton bandwagon. I can't say I've listened to it constantly as you have. But funny story about what happened up at Interlaken. The kids came, this session of kids, These are middle schoolers, you know, mostly 12, 13, 14 years old. They came to rehearsal every day early. And one day I was coming up the trail and I heard this music and I thought, my goodness, what is that? They sang the entire opening basically from memory with one of the students sitting at the piano playing it out. And the whole cast, our 25, 26 member cast, sitting there singing this thing as if they'd rehearsed it for months. That, Kara, is the power of music in a snapshot. And it creates such dynamism in the performers, and they love it. And what's interesting about Hamilton is, you know, if you sat down with your pencil and the score, it's not complicated. It's not difficult. It's not particularly inventive in terms of how the music is composed. And yet it is still so compelling. It still carries such weight. It's not, you know, it's not fluff. It's not just merely rap. It's incredibly artistic and beautiful. And the last thing I want to say before I stop is that you talked about the clarity of their presentation. I've learned so much about performing choral music from all my work in music theater, and especially with some workshops that we did with the Toronto cast of Hairspray years and years ago. I took a high school group there, and we had a workshop with them. And they introduced me to a term that I'd never heard at that point called shadow vowels. And that's just the precise enunciation of final vowels of words. And it extends, of course, to consonants. But it creates so much clarity on the part of the audience. that I've adopted, you know, so many of those musical theater techniques. And I talk about shadow vowels. I talk about articulating the final vowels, you know, like V and Z, that have to be voiced. They're not just throwaway. And I think it shows in our singing.
That's right. That's right. We in the audience don't realize it. We just hear the words very, very perfectly and really clearly. And it enhances our enjoyment of the whole concert.
What a performer needs to be taught is that the audience has one chance to hear it right. We may, as performers, do it 20, 30, 40, 50 times. But the audience gets to hear it once, and that one time has to be communicative. And if it's not, we've failed in our mission.
Again, this concert, Candlelight Reflections with the Kalamazoo Singers, is December 10th at 7 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church. Are you inviting any other musicians or guests to join you in this concert?
Yeah, this is very exciting. We are collaborating with the First Presbyterian Church Chancel Choir under the direction of Cindy Hunter. It's been a while since the church has hosted one of our concerts, although I must say we owe a huge debt of gratitude to First Presbyterian Church, who has hosted the Kalamazoo Singers for the entirety of its 40-year history, as far as I know. Maybe not the first year or so, but for the vast majority of this organization's lifetime, we have rehearsed over at First Pres. And so we're obviously grateful to them for housing us. And this is a tiny way for us to say thank you for all these years. And frankly, the fact of the matter is we're really excited to sing with our choir. Cindy has a terrific ensemble there.
Cindy Hunter.
Yeah. They've joined us for the last month or so as we've practiced our big piece that we're singing together, which is the Morton Lords and Lux Aeterna.
The centerpiece of the concert then.
Yes, yeah. That's right. Absolutely. And the fact that we're doing this with Cindy Hunter and her choir just gives us a bigger, richer sound, you know, fills the room a little bit more. We'll be performing with a chamber orchestra of about 17, 18 players, something like that. So that'll be lovely as well.
Wonderful. Are there any pieces you haven't talked about that you wanted to mention before you say goodbye?
We're doing one more big piece. It's by Dominic Argento, a not terribly well-known but still wonderful composer. He wrote a piece called The Mask of Angels, and this is the Sanctus from The Mask of Angels. So the piece is for double choir. It's quite complicated. It's the most challenging thing we're singing, not merely because it's for two equal ensembles, but rhythmically, motivically, intervallically, I mean, all these musical terms I'm throwing out, it's a complicated piece in all of these ways. The saving grace of it is that unlike the Lux Aeterna, which has a lot of unfamiliar text to us, the Sanctus is the Sanctus. So we know that Latin pretty well, and that allows us to relax and concentrate on the notes a little bit.
I think now is a good time for another selection that you brought along, John Rutter's Candlelight Carol. I'm with Rick Phelps of the Kalamazoo Singers. They're performing Candlelight Reflections at First Presbyterian Church this Saturday. That's the Kalamazoo Singers in performance with the Candlelight Carol by John Rutter, one of the works on the program, this Saturday at First Presbyterian Church. I'm talking to director Rick Phelps about this concert. What were some other things you wanted to remember to pass along to listeners?
So on the way, as I was coming in, just trying to think of the things that I needed to make sure that I mentioned. I hope we get to talk a little bit about the rest of the season. But the K-Singers have been so beautifully supported by our community, not simply our audience, which is our most important connection to the community, but also organizations like the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation, which has very generously and consistently given us grant money to be able to produce our seasons for several years running now. And, you know, performing a piece with an orchestra like the Lauridsen costs us about $2,500 to $3,000. And so those grant monies make things like that possible. And so for that, we're tremendously grateful.
So, yes, give us a peek at the rest of this 40th anniversary season.
Well, as you mentioned, I think at the top of our interview, we had our wonderful kickoff gala celebration with several current and former members of the Kalamazoo Singers singing opera arias and music theater treasures. And our next concert after Candlelight Reflections is called Choral Classics. And for that concert, we will be singing, you can call it the greatest hits of choir, or sometimes I facetiously refer to them as choral candy, because they're just the pieces that everybody loves. For example, we'll be singing the Hallelujah Chorus. We will be singing The Heavens Are Telling from Haydn's Creation. We'll be singing Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring by Bach. And on the opera side, we'll be singing the Habanera from Carmen by Bizet. We'll also be singing the Puccini humming chorus from Madama Butterfly. And that's significant, too, because as some of your audience may remember, it was as the opera chorus for Madama Butterfly 40 years ago that birthed this ensemble. So that's a very special moment for us and a wonderful piece for us to sing as part of our 40th celebration. And then in May, on May 7th, Sunday afternoon, May 7th, we will have our big season ending, what we're calling our 40th anniversary celebration concert, where we have past directors, and of course that includes our dear friend Tom Kasdorf, who will be coming back to direct us, and Hal Hobson and Cindy Hunter, who have all been past directors. And we are inviting alumni to come sing at that concert. We have soloists. Each of the conductors is going to get to, you know, choose a few pieces, and have a wonderful big celebration of all the kinds of styles and genres of music that we can mush into an hour and a half long concert or so.
Well, Rick, thank you so much for previewing Candlelight Reflections and more here today at WMUK, and just keep doing things right with the Kalamazoo Singers.
Thank you very much, Kara. We will continue to try to do things right.